Help us by your prayers, and many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Congregation of Jesus Christ, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Alexander had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. How many of you have read that book? Love that book. Why do we love that book so much? Well, listen. For Alexander, it started when he woke up with the bubble gum that was in his mouth when he fell asleep, was now stuck to his hair when he woke up. Then Alexander got out of bed and he tripped on his skateboard. And he accidentally dropped his sweater in the sink while the water was running. At breakfast, Alexander's older brother, Anthony and Nick, found a cool prize in their breakfast cereal box. While he only found cereal in his box without any prize at all. Alexander resolves that he is going to move away to Australia. And it all went downhill from there. We like that book in part because we can relate to that. Who of us has not had one of those days when everything seems to go wrong? It's part of being sinful. It's part of living in a fallen world. To live long enough, sooner or later, all of us Christians, even not exempt, will need the comfort of others. Have you ever walked through a season of suffering and you asked yourself, God, why me? Why does this have to happen to me? I know you are good, but why? Well, being a Christian doesn't mean life is trouble-free. We know that in our heads. But then we experience disappointment, heartache, loss. And we say, why, Lord? And it doesn't comfort us much that Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But it should comfort us that Jesus said, take heart, I have overcome the world. Whatever your horrible, terrible, no good, very bad day or season of life is like, take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. Peter the apostle writes to Christians, and he wants to encourage them too, and he's seeing them walk through a very difficult time. And he said, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. We are often surprised, but we shouldn't be. So 2 Corinthians was written by Paul to a church that needed encouragement to persevere in their faith through trials. Now, if anyone had the right to ask, why me, it would be Paul. He had many terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. And if we didn't have 2 Corinthians, we wouldn't see about a lot of those or hear about a lot of those bad days that Paul had. He faced physical dangers, fierce oppositions, a mysterious thorn, and seasons of despair so intense that he felt like he had received the sentence of death from our text. Yet instead of throwing his hands up in the air and saying, that's just it, I'm done, he writes a beautiful letter which we unpack. I'm not going to offer pat answers today. That's not my purpose here today. I want us to focus on two life-altering truths that can help us in the journey through life. First of all, very clearly, God, the sovereign over the whole universe, billions and billions of galaxies, and he spins them all in place and has control over them. He allows us to go through the crushing weight of affliction. God allows us to go through that. That's the first truth that I want us to take hold of. His purpose is not to destroy us. He's not mad at you for being a sinner. He is mad at the sin, but he is a good, good father. He wants to strip us of our self-reliance so that when we come to the end of ourselves, then he, in his power, then carries us. That's the first truth. God allows this to happen. And second truth that we need to wrap our mind around is that the pain that we endure is never wasted. Christ is mine forevermore is a great song. We could have sang it this morning too. It has that line in there, I know my pain will not be wasted. That's physical pain, spiritual pain, emotional pain. God uses that. Pain is God's divine training ground for us, on which God equips us so that we may be able to comfort others. Paul is a servant of God who wrote this letter to a church, and the church was a messy church. It lived in a culture that had sort of eked its way into the church. And he reaches out to them and he calls them saints. Saints, these sinners. He says they're saints, they're holy ones, they're set apart for God. He extends God's grace and peace to them as he greets them. And he gives them a radically different perspective on the pain that they have experienced and the pain that he has experienced. In the midst of his pain and their pain, he allows them to see God. Comfort. Comfort is the word. I was going to ask the boys and girls, how many times does that word comfort appear? If you come up with the answer to that, I'll give you an extra piece of candy today. So, anybody, if you have the right answer, if you have the wrong answer, you owe me a candy. But moving on. So the comfort is the word. Paraklesis is the word. It's a combination of two words. Para, which means beside or alongside of, and kaleo, to call. So it describes someone who is called, and in this instance, to stand with a person in distress. It's not just saying, hey, I feel for you from a distance. Oh, you know, like we say often, I will pray for you. That's good. I hope we all are praying for one another. But this has a nuance to it that is coming alongside of someone in distress, saying, I am right here with you, bringing comfort to you. It's a word, paraklesis is a lot like the word paraclete, which is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am going to send you, he said this to the disciples and us, another, a paraclete, to come alongside of you, who will be with you, who will be in you, who will walk with you. In a courtroom scene, he's like the attorney that's fighting on your behalf. He's taking your cause and he's proclaiming your innocence and speaking on your behalf. God's comfort is our defense when the trials of life overwhelm us. Or if you are more into the sports scene, it's like a coach in the locker room getting his team to rally, getting her team to rally and to really, come on team, you can do this. We've been practicing this, and now if we put our plan together and execute that plan, we're going to do it. That is, and I'm going to be out there with you. I will be encouraging you throughout the game, and we're going to win. So that is, he's not just a paraklesis. He's not somebody who just sends you out there, but he's standing right there in the battle, in the fray with you. Now, it's important to note that when it comes to true comfort, not a temporary fix, not a comfort for the moment that it eases the pain, but something for the long haul. God is the source of that. In Exodus 6, or in Exodus 34, 6 and 7, the Lord God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. There is the God who walks with us. He is the source of our strength. Psalm 103, David spells that out a bit. He's like a father who has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Gracious, merciful, compassionate. It means a tender action from a superior down to a lesser under their care. In other words, our God is the one who is always sowing compassion among us. In our grief, he meets us personally and he walks that through. I know many of you have experienced that. And I remind all of us as we continue that journey that we continue to need that comfort of God every day. Do you see yourself as weak and helpless? That's so un-American, really. You know, we're self-made people. Got to pull ourselves by our bootstraps and just do it. God helps those who help themselves. But truly, do you see yourself? Do I see myself as weak and in need? I need God. David Gibson made this interesting comment. He said, so many broken people go in for counseling. That's a good thing. But they don't want to have their sins confronted. What they want, rather, is just help managing their sin. If you don't want to be managed or remade, if you don't want to be made new from the inside out, you will not want the comfort of the Word of God. You have not seen something beautiful and glorious and wonderful about God. That He is more precious than silver, than pure gold. God is better than that. Unless you can see how dependent you are on Him, you will not see that part of God. We own that we are broken people, that we needed to be mended. We are wounded people who need to be healed. We are guilty people needing to be pardoned. We're dependent children needing the mercy and comfort of our Heavenly Father. And then we are so dependent on Him. He came to heal us, to give us comfort so that we can continue to fight the battle and finish the race. Here's how that flow works. God is the source of everything, and He comforts us in our troubles. When I was a boy growing up, I used to loathe the things that went wrong on the farm. And every day something would go down. A piece of machinery would break down. Now the cows had to be milked a lot later. And you're like, oh, this is so bad, so bad. And then a tractor would break down. A spindle would break. Something would not go right. The wagon spilled over. You think the day can't get any worse than this? Well, made it through those times. Those were formative times. If you're going through something hard, it's a good thing. Your past failures, the sins of your youth, your difficult trials, your wounds. Oh, they're going to leave a scar for sure. But in the hands of a loving Father, those things become a tool that He uses for someone else's healing. It's not all about us, not about my healing. It's about being used for others. We have to share the load. Paul experienced discomforts, hardships. He calls them the sentence of death. And God delivered him and all the apostles at one time or another from their troubles for the sake that they could then turn to the Corinthians, God's people, to help them in their experience. So that's the flow that it goes through. The principle is that the more we share in the sufferings of Christ, the more we will experience his overflowing comfort. I will say that again. The more we share in the sufferings of Christ, the more we experience his overflowing comfort. I make that distinction because I know sometimes the problems that we get into are because we can be stubborn, rebellious, and sometimes just mean-spirited people. Not you, I'm speaking to myself here. I'm sure you're all just very fine. But a lot of the trouble that I got into and I continue to get in have nothing to do with my love for Jesus Christ. It has everything to do with Anson Veenstra wanting to get his own way in this matter. And then that's not the kind of comfort. But when my passion is for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when I want to see his light a flame in somebody's heart and see that man, that woman, that boy, that girl grow up loving Jesus Christ, and I suffer as a result of that, that is the kind of comfort that I see in that. The more I share in that passion of Jesus Christ, the more I experience his overflowing comfort. Paul is in the school of hard knocks here. He's radically transparent here. He says in verse 8, I'm under great pressure, far beyond my ability to endure. That's really what it comes to in our life. We will bump into things in our life that there's no way that I can get out of this on my own. I can't endure this. I need something outside of me, something larger. And God sometimes allows those experiences to come in our life. I mean, this is a comfort for anybody who's walking through a very difficult time. Don't waste the moment. Difficulty, don't waste your pain. Dear friends, because God never does, God uses our weakness to give us what we don't have. His comfort, his strength, his coming alongside of help. Do you know that kind of help? Someone said that God's comfort is not given to us in a bucket for our selfish enjoyment. Rather, it has been given to us in a pipe so that we can pass it on to others. Get a bucket full of God's comfort, I can share it with myself. But a pipeline from God through me to others, that's how the flow works. So there needs to be a shift in our reliance. The purpose of hitting rock bottom is so that you fully stop depending on yourself. And when that happens, and there's no other way to look but up, that's when you can say that God's comfort makes sense to me now. If you want to know God more as the God of mercy and comfort, then welcome the sufferings in your life. Those hard relationships that you are in, the disappointments that you experience, the heartaches, the loss that come your way by living in a fallen world. See, the ultimate test of our faith is leaning on the resurrection power of Jesus Christ when all earthly hope is gone. When we suffer, whatever that suffering may be, God comes alongside of us, defends us, heals us, strengthens us, to be sure. But there's one more angle to this that we must not overlook. And I want to make sure that we get this. This is not a journey that we do alone. Did you catch it at the end in verse 10? God delivered him from deadly peril, yes, but then in verse 11, he actively credits the prayers of the Corinthian church for his deliverance. That is the power of partnership. That's where you realize, and those of you who have walked through a difficult time, I can testify this too, it means a lot to hear someone say, I am praying for you. But it's also nice to get that hug and to say, here's my prayer for you. There's somebody that we need to pray with today. Is there somebody who needs that words? Don't underestimate the partnership power of prayer. We do that together as a church. We do that as individuals. We do that in family. We need to be doing that more and more and more. Now remember, I'm going to bring this to an end here, that Alexander, you know, at the end of his horrible, no good, everyday life, you know what his mother said to him? She said, you know, Alexander, everybody has bad days. Even people in Australia have bad days. Now, for us, there's a bit more to it than that. As we look at Paul's word in 2 Corinthians 1, we're reminded that our God's not distant. He's not a passive observer of our pain. He is the Father of compassion. He steps right into the mess of our lives. And the grief, the broken relationship, the health crises, and the financial fears, and he offers his comfort. Here's the beautiful, challenging climax of this passage. God's comfort is never meant to stop with us. It's a tool to be shared. It isn't a private blessing to be hoarded. Bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. It's bless me, Lord, so that I can be a blessing to others. Look around this room. You're sitting among people who are carrying hidden burdens, heavy grief, silent fears. The specific trial that you have survived, the heartbreak, the loss, the seasons of despair, didn't happen to you by accident. It was a gift of God that maybe in the moment you don't thank him for, but one day you will, because God brought you through so that you can be a lifeline to somebody else. Who do you need to talk to today? Who do you need to bring comfort to? Who do you need to come alongside of today? I'll challenge you this week with two questions. Number one is, where do you need to stop relying on your own strength? Stop pretending that I can do this Christian discipleship thing on my own. I need others. So where do you need to stop relying on your own strength and allow God's comfort to flow into you and through you today? Number two, who has God placed in your path? Don't you think of a person right now, somebody that needs to hear your testimony of how God has brought you through, is bringing you through your suffering. He's not with us today, but for me, I can just say Warren has been a source of gold for me. Ruth has been a source of gold for me. Others who have walked through times of testing or going through difficulties in life have so encouraged and bolstered my faith. Let's be a church that continues to share that with one another. And let us boldly use our healed scars to comfort those who are still hurting. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort, the source of all comfort, the channel of all comfort, and the end of all comfort. Lord, it's all about you, and what a privilege it is to be able to live and bask in the comfort that comes from you. We're so thankful, Jesus, that You remind us that this world is going to be full of troubles. There'll be hardships, there'll be testings, there'll be failures along the way. There'll be those who oppose us for our faith. But thank you, Lord, for that great reminder that we can take heart, that we can have encouragement, that we can be comforted because you have overcome the world. May that be the testimony of every man, woman, boy, and girl that is here today. In Jesus' name, amen.